What is the most popular Pansy Division song?
Bunnies.
Followed by Love, Love, Love.
After that, Bunnies, Love, Love, Love.
Feminine Black Leather Jacket.
And are you basing this answer on sales, audience response?
Audience response. That's what people yell for. And that's what people request. Like if I run into somebody before a show, they'll say, "Are you guys going to play Bunnies tonight?" You know, that's often what people will say.
Before we take off our clothes, before we're in the door, 8 hours of work is especially tough when 3 times a day is barely enough. I got the carrot, you got the stick. You start to nibble, I start to lick, and we get our bodies all hot and sweaty and runny, and then we fuck like bunnies. Showing up early catches me off guard. Hearing your knock on my door gets me hard. You drive me rough like a pickup truck. It's a never-ending, non-stop boy fuck. I got the carrot, you got the stick. You start to nibble, I start to lick. And we get our bodies all hot and sweaty and runny, and then we fuck like bunnies. Days since I've seen my friends, burning the candle with you at both ends. We might burn out like a supernova before the moment, please roll over. I got the carrot, you got the stick. You start to nibble, I start to lick, and we get our bodies all hot and sweaty and runny, and then we fuck like bunnies. Bunnies. Bunnies.
Welcome to the July 2009 edition of Queer Music Heritage, and that song sets the tone and gives a very energetic start to part two of my John Ginoli interview. This is where we're going to talk about a whole lot of Pansy Division songs that I just can't play on broadcast radio, obviously like Bunnies, taken from their 1993 album, Undressed. How has the subject matter of your songs evolved over the years?
Well, let's look at those songs I just mentioned. Bunnies and Feminine Black Leather Jacket were songs about desire, about a guy desiring another guy. Femme is about, you know, a guy, somebody that he's attracted to. Bunnies is about getting it on. The other song in that trio is Love, 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 which came 5 or 6 years later. And Love, Love, Love is much more cynical. And, you know, kind of worldly. It's like, here's how the world works. You know, the idea that we grow up with pop songs from the music we hear as we're kids, we get ideas about what love is going to be like, what life is going to be like what is it like to be in love? And I think that because pop music is made to sell you songs, it's a distorted picture. So you get to a certain point where you realize all these ideas that you had about what love is going to be like are pretty inaccurate. In the beginning of the band, we were trying to be more celebratory because that's what we felt hadn't been done. Celebratory songs about gay sex, about gay love. And then by the time we got around to Absurd Pop Song Romance, 5 years later, I felt like it was time to show the other side of the coin. Instead of always getting the guy or feeling like the guy is attainable, you know, we turned and did, you know, showed some disappointments. And that was, I think, a really Love, 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 a good distillation of trying to evolve, but at the same time doing something that people could still recognize as Pansy Division.
Okay, you want evolving? Here's that same song, Love, 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 done very differently. Now that was something I would not have expected, and it was just uploaded to YouTube from a May 30th performance by the Common Thread Community Chorus of Toronto. Further irony is that it was recorded at a performance at the Holy Trinity Church. Yep, plenty of contrast on this show, as you'll continue to see. On this segment, we're going to cover four songs from the Undressed album. We started with Bunnies, and next is Cocksucker Club.
I had a friend in San Francisco. He's still a friend of mine, actually. We were talking about a guy who we thought was gay, and I wasn't sure, and I said, so, you know, is he? And my friend said, well, he's in the club. And I thought, well, what club would that be? And then I immediately thought, well, the Cocksucker Club. You know, are you gay? Well, if you're sucking dick, you're gay. Or you're bi, or whatever. And the song says, he might be bi, he might be gay. That's one of the lines. So I thought, that's the club we're in.
It's where the rubber meets the road.
Yes, so to speak.
I'm homo. He's thought about it for a long, long time, about being attracted to his own kind. He's ready to take those fantasies and make them into something real. He'll finally do all the things he's been dreaming of. He's joining the Cocksucker Club to not have to pretend he was drunk when he seduced his roommate on his bunk. He might be bi, he might be gay, but he knows he's finally ready to say some of the things he's constantly thinking of by joining the Cocksucker Club. So lick, 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 suck, 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 unroll the condoms and fuck, fuck, fuck. Down on your knees, give a good head, do it in your parents' queen-size bed. In high school he spent hundreds of hours fantasizing about boys in the showers. Billy was hung, Rick was thick, Daniel had a most upstanding dick, but Eric was the one with extra yardage to love by joining the Cocksucker Club. So lick, 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 slurp, 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 do it though your jaws start to hurt. The taste and feel of a dick that's new is a fun activity to pursue. His own kind. He's finally facing what it means when another boy causes a lump in your jeans. Taking the plunge, going down for love. He's joining the Cocksucker Club. He's ready for the Cocksucker Club. He's a member of the Cocksucker Club.
Tell me about Anthem.
The chorus of Anthem was actually the first thing I wrote for Pansy Division. It's an anthem, of course, given the title. Just, I mean, the lyrics. We're here to tell you you better make way. We're queer rockers in your face today. That's what my initial impulse was to do with the band. And, you know, to sort of draw the line in the sand. We can't relate to Judy Garland. It's a new generation of music calling to say, you know, this is different than what queer culture normally is.
One, two, 1, 2, 3, 4! We're here to tell you, you better make way. We're queer rockers in your face today. We can't relate to Judy Garland. It's a new generation of music calling. We're the butt fuckers of rock and roll. We wanna sock it to your hole. With loud guitars, we're gay and proud. We're gonna get you with your pants down. Closeted rockers, we've heard of a you. They won't risk their careers to come out to you. We have sham, no such deceptions, no such ploys. We make it clear we want to sleep with boys. We're the butt fuckers of rock and roll. We want to sock it to your hole. We don't care if you're top or bottom, just use your butthole, everyone's got them. We do love rock and roll, it's true, but that boy meets girl stuff just won't do. Of rock and roll, we wanna sock it to your hole. Latino, Asian, white or black, we're gonna get ya, we're gonna get ya, we're gonna get ya on your back.
Rock and Roll Queer Bar.
I had been a DJ at a club of the same name in San Francisco, along with Don Baird, who's been the columnist for the queer biweekly magazine in San Francisco called the San Francisco Bay Times for almost 20 years, I think. He and I started a club together because we wanted to have a queer rock club. And it happened right as I was starting to record Pansy Division stuff in 91. So when I went to do the first recording session for Pansy Division, I recorded that song thinking, ah, it'll be the theme for my club, and then I can blow people's minds with it by playing that at my club. But the club only lasted a couple more months after that because the club we were doing it in shut down, and then I got busy with the band.
And this time I'm going to share another early version of the song. From John's 1991 cassette tape, Undressed, here's Rock and Roll Queer Bar.
Rock, 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 rock and roll queer bar. Sexuality, rock, rock, rock and roll queer bar, cause that's not what I wanna be. Rock, rock, rock and roll queer bar. I just wanna have some kicks, I just wanna get some dicks. Rock, 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 rock and roll queer bar. Well, the boys out there knock me out, you know. Rock, rock, rock and roll queer bar, cruising around for a cute homo. Rock, rock, rock and roll queer bar. And the sweater queens in their overpriced cars and acid wash jeans. Rock, 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 rock and roll queer bar. Rock, 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 rock and roll queer bar. Fun, fun, 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 oh baby. Fun, fun, oh baby. Fun, 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 fun. Rock, 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 rock and roll queer bar. Rock, 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 rock and roll queer bar. Rock, 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 rock and roll queer bar. Rock, 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 rock and roll queer bar.
When Pansy Division formed, what other openly queer bands were there?
Well, when we formed, when I had the idea to do Pansy Division, I knew of no one. As it turned out, the one band that was together, though the records were impossible to find at that point, was Fifth Column from Toronto. They were the only band that were all gay and, you know, singing about gay stuff before. So they're like a year before us, maybe a year and a half, couple years. I forget when their first album came out. It was pre-CD. It just came out on vinyl and has never been on CD. They were very obscure, and I only knew about them because of Homocore magazine and JD's, Bruce LaBruce's old fanzine, Juvenile Delinquents, that he did with G.B. Jones from Fifth Column. Apart from that, like I say in the intro to my book, there were gay musicians who were around before that, some of whom were out, but mostly it was people who rumors were about, or it was about people who were dance acts. So, you know, when I talk about who was out in rock before us, we started at the exact same time as Tribe 8, in San Francisco. Glenn Meadmore in Los Angeles was around about a year before us. There was an article in Option Magazine, which is a music magazine, in 92, where they were talking about queer musicians. And it was mostly about Glenn Meadmore, queer musicians playing rock. And at that point, Pansy Division had recorded but had not gotten anything released yet. And I was chomping at the bit to get something out there because I thought, yes, the time is right for this. Maybe somebody's going to beat me to it. But there was room for plenty. But to answer your question, who was out before us? Almost no one. I think there's a lot of people you can point to that may have done something before we did, but not a whole band and not trying to go about it like we did or Tribe 8 did. I mention Tribe 8 a lot because I think they are really the good a good comparison to us. Same time, same place, a lot of the same issues, but their approach is very different. But I think they're a really good parallel to us. Put the two of us together covers a lot of ground.
In 1994, the band released their album called Deflowered. And without revealing too much about myself, I'll say I was anxious to hear John talk about one of my two favorite Pansy Division songs of all time, Groovy Underwear.
Yeah, it occurred to me one night as I was laying down to go to sleep that I couldn't think of any good songs about underwear. And I thought, really? I couldn't think of any. So I thought, well, I better write one. And that's what I came up with. I stayed up like 3 a.m. writing it. I thought, this is pretty good.
Have you gotten responses from people with underwear fetishes on that one?
A few. That is another one of our favorites. People are always asking for that one.
White fabric surrounding your nuts. Bike shorts, put it on display. You're wearing it to the left today. Sweatpants clinging to your crevice. Boxer shorts for easy access. I'm digging your groovy underwear. Straps showing off your cheeks, moving in for a closer peek. Running shorts, thin as paper, barely dressed, nearly naked. Pulled down around your ankles, I'll make you spill out like an oil tanker. All because of your groovy underwear. So hot, I've come, I've shot. My turn now to get you off. What a collection of skivvies I got. Skimpy little G-string, hardly a stitch cover in that thing. Tucked into that little pouch, straining hard to get out. Barely hold you once you get throbbing. Let my hands go fishing around in. Look what I found in your groovy underwear. Groovy underwear. Ooh, ooh, groovy underwear. Groovy underwear. Ooh, ooh, ooh. It's so groovy. You sure know how to please. Let me give those buns a squeeze. What fine cakes, what fine batter. Any second now I'm gonna splatter all over your groovy underwear. Groovy underwear, ooh, ooh, groovy underwear. Groovy underwear, ooh, ooh, ooh. It's so groovy. So groovy. It's so groovy.
It's so groovy.
It's so groovy.
It's so groovy.
It's so groovy.
It's so groovy.
It's so groovy.
It's so groovy.
It's so groovy.
It's so groovy.
It's so groovy.
It's so groovy.
It's so groovy.
It's so groovy.
It's so groovy.
It's so groovy.
And from the next year and the Pile Up album comes my other favorite song of theirs, Homo Christmas.
I wrote it in 20 minutes before a gig the week of Christmas, and I had come up with the idea, wrote the words pretty fast, and I thought, if I want to rehearse this song tonight and record it with and play it tonight, because we had a rehearsal before the show we were going to do, it was like a Saturday. And we were going to rehearse for an hour at 4, and then at 5 we were going to go take our gear over to the club. So I thought, I better write this in a hurry, because if I want to do it tonight, I can't spend a lot of time trying to worry about the music. So I pilfered an outnumbered song and adapted that, and then added the lyrics to it. The music's similar, but not quite the same. And it was an instant hit.
I Feel So Sorry Now was the song by The Outnumbered, and I played a little bit of it on part 1. And I think the transition to Homo Christmas is apparent. So I want to let you hear them back to back. I want to backtrack just for a moment, as I had asked John a couple questions about the band Outnumbered that time-wise just didn't fit in part one of the interview.
I've seen it referred to as an all-male feminist band.
There are a couple songs we did that were pretty blatantly feminist, the one high-profile review that the band got was in Spin magazine when our second album, Holding the Grenade Too Long, came out, and that writer described us as a feminist garage band, and I thought, that's pretty good. Because garage rock, 60s-style garage rock, you know, it's all about how the girl done him wrong. And so to come out and sort of do a version of that that, you know, is sensitive about women and feminism, I thought, all right, I can accept that. That's cool. It's not going to make us sell many records.
How would you compare the sound of The Outnumbered to that of Pansy Division?
The funny thing about that is that as Pansy Division has gone on, it started to sound more like The Outnumbered, especially after Absurd Pop Song Romance and after. Because The Outnumbered were power pop, indie rock, a lot of 60s influences, garage rock. Pansy Division has more punk rock in it. It blends those same kinds of things. So I think there's a parallel to the way that Pansy Division sounds now, especially with the new album, compared to The Outnumbered stuff. It's comparable in certain ways.
Can you tell us about the song Fuck Buddy?
I still think that's one of my favorite Pansy Division songs, even though it's not on our best of. It's always been a favorite of mine, and I wanted to write about having a fuck buddy because I thought that is one of the things that is more commonly accepted in gay circles rather than in hetero circles. So the idea of having a fuck buddy, someone who you just get together and hook up with every once in a while, was something that I hadn't really heard talked about in a song. I thought, this is really not such a obscure concept, but I don't really hear it mentioned. I thought, that's a good idea. And I like the phrase, fuck buddy, to have a fuck buddy. So I thought, here's something that we can document that is unique, but at the same time, people will hear it and go, oh yeah, yeah, I want to have one of those.
Lover, he's not a one-night stand, he's someone in between to lend the occasional hand. Not much in common, but a physical attraction. We only rendezvous when we need some erotic action. Fuck buddy, there's a right time and a right place for emotional tangles, no problem here. A temporary arrangement, the situation's clear. But there's still affection, it's not totally hit and run. We just limit our feelings to what we do when the pants are down. Fuck buddy, there's a right time and a right place for a fuck buddy. Find a guy who means something more, but that's not what this kind of relationship is for. Down and dirty, hot and squirty, it's almost poetry the way his hair hangs down when he's on top of me. Fuck buddy, there's a right time and a right place for a fuck buddy. Fuck buddy, there's a right time and a right place for a
I like what you did with Real Men.
I used to think that Joe Jackson was gay. Turns out he's not. I ran into somebody at some point who told me he knew his wife. But yeah, I always hated the idea of Real Men, because it was always this sort of impossible thing to live up to, and I thought a false concept anyway. So I thought, you know, we'll put the Pansy Division treatment onto this song.
What's a man now? What's a man mean? Is he rough or is he rugged? Is he culturally clean? Now it's all changed. Gotta change more. We think it's getting better, but nobody's really sure. Take your mind back.
Next up is Bill and Ted's Homosexual Adventure.
That is pure silliness. That and Touch My Joe Camel are probably the silliest songs that we did, just for fun. But I love the video for Bill and Ted's Homosexual Adventure. It's just so ridiculous.
No bogus journey, it's their heart's true yearning. It's time for Bill and Ted's homosexual adventure to begin. In the garage, they're practicing their guitar solos, but in the bedroom, they're practicing. A pain. What a way to waste your brain. Cause you know what's on their minds. Hey dude, 69. It's no bogus journey. It's their heart's true yearning. It's time for Bill and Ted's homosexual adventure to begin. Dumb, but they're not rubes. They got each other by the pubes, squeezing on one another's tubes. One's dark and one is blonde. Day and night they get it on. They got condoms in their pockets, plug into each other's sockets. They learn from Socrates. It's no bogus journey, it's a boner journey. It's time for Bill and Ted's homosexual adventure to begin.
By the way, Bill and Ted's Homosexual Adventure was on the very first Pansy Division 45, released on the Outpunk label prior to the band signing with Outlook Records. From the 1996 album Wish I'd Taken Pictures came the song Sidewalk Sale.
Written after we'd played in Portland, Oregon, and we ended up at this gay bar there after the show. And just standing around outside at the end of the night, the phrase popped into my head. Then I went home where we were staying in Portland and wrote the lyrics.
When I was hitting the bars years ago, I used to have a rule for myself, leave at 1:30. Because you make not so good decisions after that.
Yeah. That's good.
Gay bar at closing time. The music stops up, comes alive. The glow of darkness lifts its veil. Gathering for a sidewalk sale. Back and forth through the smoky space. Making circles around the place. Desperation, it's getting late. Last chance is a sidewalk sale. Don't want to go home alone. But how low will you go? The cream is gone, the dregs prevail. Preacher's son, and when his dad would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered round and started talking, Hudson Billy would take me walking. Now to the backyard we'd go walking. Then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows, to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. When he started sweet talking to me, he'd come and tell me everything is alright. He gets to tell me everything is alright. Can we get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Ooh, how well I remember the look that was in his eyes. Stealing kisses from me on the sly. Taking time to make time. Telling me that he's all mine. Putting from each other's knowing. Looking to see how much he'd grown. And the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was.
Sidewalk Sale was so short that I threw in two more, both from the Pansy Division website. Hibernia Beach was done in 1996 as an opening theme for a San Francisco gay radio show by that name, and the name was taken from a corner on Castro Street where the Hibernia Bank used to be. That corner became a cruising, or at least posing, area, and I understand that while the bank changed names years ago, the name Hibernia Beach has continued. And after that, of course, was a cover of the Dusty Springfield song, Son of a Preacher Man. That was considered for the Wish I'd Taken Picture album, but then was not included. But one song that did make the album that I can't leave out is Dick of Death.
We did one tour of Australia, and Chris picked up this guy who he said had the biggest one that he had ever seen, which I said, well, you should call the song Crocodile Dundee. But Chris called it the Dick of Death. And, you know, I thought that was fine. But I remember at the time thinking, well, some people think they're going to think this is a song about AIDS. But I thought, I'm not going to let what someone might think the song might be about. I'm just going to go ahead and put my meaning on it.
Nice enough for a short man trying to act real tough in a bar. The kind of attitude will get you very far. His shirt was open and I saw his chest. A salt and pepper soft and furry mass, oh God. You know how that turns me on. And then he took my hand and ran it over the outline in his pants. He had the dick of cabin went away to my place where we dropped our clothes up fast. You'd think we were racing, yeah. I couldn't wait to see it for myself. And there it was staring up at me. Long and perfect, boy, was I ever lucky, yeah. He kissed me and we fell down on the bed. And then he took my hand and let me die. He had the dick of death. He had the dick of death. I looked into his eyes and let him sodomize me with his dick of death. I've never seen one like this dick before. When he's soft, he's nearly hung down to the floor. Love his. Don't know if I love him, but I love his dick of death. I love his dick of death. I love his dick of death. Yeah.
Moving on to 1997 and More Lovin' from Our Oven and the song Negative Queen.
We did it twice. There's a band version on Deflowered and then the a cappella version. The a cappella version came about when there was a big heat wave one summer in Chicago in 95, where hundreds of people died. It was 108 degrees for a week. And we were playing a club in Chicago that week, and our van kept breaking down. Power kept going out. So we were to play this club, and the power was on across the street, but not on our side of the street where the club was. All these people were showing up to the show. So we were trying to entertain them on the sidewalk to keep them there, for, you know, instead of leaving, because it was miserably hot. So we started doing a cappella versions of our songs, and that one seemed to work really well. As far as the subject matter goes, one of the things that I used to do constantly in the early days of the band was put up posters in San Francisco to advertise our shows. And when I moved to San Francisco, you could put up posters in the Castro. There were ACT UP and later Queer Nation posters all over. And then at a certain point, some self-appointed people would go around and rip down all the signs off of all of the lampposts in that neighborhood. And I found this infuriating. They're saying they're cleaning up the neighborhood. I'm like, well, the neighborhood is fine. It doesn't need to be cleaned up. So the people who were behind that, you know, struck me as, you know, you'd see them quoted in the paper because it was a contentious thing to get quoted in the gay paper, and they were really negative people, and I thought they're just out to ruin other people's fun. So that's why I wrote that.
He thinks he's Oscar Wilde, but he's Paul Lynde. Can't say anything good about anything. He flips his cigarette with disdain. You fail to live up to his standards again. He's a negative queen, he's a negative queen. He reads all the latest magazines. He's quick to follow, but thinks he's in the lead. He was there, and you weren't. You're out of it, you're not current. He's a negative queen, he's a negative queen. He drips disdain. He's lacking tact. He's popular in a scene where being nice is a radical act. Everything's got to be just so. If it's not, he'll let you know. Don't put up posters on Castro Street. He'll rip them down so he can shop in peace. He's a negative queen, he's a negative queen. He struts into a bar with a swagger.
Hey baby, how you doing?
Stumbles out later with a stagger.
I'm not drunk.
Spent half his life in a bar, now he looks so haggard. No sympathy for a braggart. Everything's got to be just so. If it's not, he'll let you know. Darling, you simply haven't lived unless you've lived like him. He's a negative queen, he's a negative queen. Bum ba dum bum 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 bum. He's a negative queen, he's a negative queen.
Can Pansy Division do a metal song?
We wanted to do a metal single when Dustin was in the band, so the three of us were discussing metal songs that we might want to do. Chris was a big Kiss fan, and we agreed to do Sweet Pain because it was a song that we thought we could improve on. With Breaking the Law, I'm not that big of a metal fan, but I liked that song, and I remember that song, and thought, wow, well, you know, we're breaking the law all the time in all these different states we go to because there's these stupid sodomy laws. So I thought, let's adapt that to make our point.
somebody coming.
Fuck, it's a cop! Pull out! Oh, pull out! God.
Okay, hey, turn off the tape! Turn off the tape!
Police, open up! Hey, what are you two guys doing back there?
Breaking the law, breaking the law.
And John didn't mention it, but Breaking the Law is a Judas Priest song, and when Panzer Division sang that song live at San Diego Pride in June of 1997, Rob Halford of the band Judas Priest came up on stage and sang it with them, even singing the modified lyrics. A few months later, Halford came out of the closet. From the absurd pop song Romance album came Bad Boyfriend.
It's easy to complain about somebody else. So I thought, I had started writing this song, and I thought, ooh, this will be a lot more interesting if I point the finger at myself rather than point the finger at somebody else and accuse them of being a bad boyfriend. Not based on a real person.
Not based on you.
Not based on me.
Well, there's much too much Panzer Division for just part two, so please come back for more.